I know it's wrong to objectify women. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
But in our sexual fantasies, I think we do, as men, objectify women, don't we? Like, well, I always think of Adele, like, down her hands and knees with an apple in her mouth. I like Adele. Is there anything wrong with that?
Hey, I like the ladies.
I like Adele. I like a woman who knows her way around a funnel cake.
How's that Jawbreaker treating you?
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
It's it's a cumbersome food, you know? It's difficult to deal with. It's not like you can just chew it away. It's called the Jawbreaker.
Can't just chew your problems away.
Uh-huh.
That's what I always say.
So.
Is it succulent? Would you call it a succulent Jawbreaker?
No. It's flavorful.
Flavorful? We'll take
call
it.
It succulent.
How,
it's pretty mild, you know what I mean? It's not like, whoa, my God, oh, this is just bursting with flavor, this Jawbreaker. It's fucking sugar. It's lime-flavored sugar.
What do you look for in a Jawbreaker? Mm-hmm. You specifically?
I kind of like those little smaller ones because I'm impatient, and those ones are like, oh, I can crush you easily. When I was younger, remember that, what was this store called? Something Sweet?
Is that what it was called?
I can't remember what it was called.
Wasn't it? No.
Something like that.
Simply Delicious?
No, it wasn't called Simply Delicious.
There was a Simply Delicious at one point, wasn't there? Which is such a great name. Simply Delicious.
The candy store. Whatever you call it.
There was one in town, though, called Simply Delicious.
You're talking about one downtown. I'm talking about there used to be one at the mall.
Okay. You got me back now.
All right. And back in the day when malls were a thing... Before it was like a place where you're like, wow, this place is so sad. And there's so many places are closed. How is Hot Topic still alive? Wow. Spencer's Gifts. This seems like everything that Amazon took like away from you guys.
This is all the blow up dolls they couldn't sell.
Like everybody, let's be honest. How is Spencer's Gifts still alive? That place has to be closed by now, right?
Spencer's Gifts? Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. Where are douchebags going to shop?
Amazon. Because like, look. Everybody who bought shit at Spencer's Gifts, the second Amazon happened, they no longer bought shit at Spencer's Gifts so they could hide the shame.
But the people that buy shit from Spencer's Gifts, part of why they love it is they need you to see them buying it. They need the shock value of them buying Lady Gag Gag blow-up doll. She loves it when you poke her face. That's a real item.
Yep.
They need you to see them doing that because they're like, I pride myself on being a deviant.
What about
because being a deviant...
They just have a bunch. It was belt buckles and oversized mugs that were. It was an ass. You
know? Yeah, there were like mugs that looked like tits, and there were fucking like ding dong. You wear them like over your dick.
Fake
bottle openers.
Yeah. Blow me, and you're like, okay.
Rubber dog turds. Mm-hmm.
Shitty t-shirts.
Fake ecstasy.
In that place, that now I realize what that smell was like a nice air spray in the back to hide that the workers were getting stoned all day.
Oh, blasted.
That's what that smell is, you guys. If you're wondering, it was cheap, shitty plastic that went into all of the stuff in Spencer's and weed covered with Febreze.
Mm-hmm. Is that what the Jawbreaker tastes like?
No, it tastes like lime.
Okay.
That's also what every head shop smells like, too. If you're wondering what that is, that's what that is.
Yes, yes.
I know what you're doing back there. That's not the smell of glass. Who are you fucking kidding?
I left a Hot Pocket in the microwave for too long, or for not enough time.
What a strange coincidence that every head shop smells this way.
Hmm.
I wonder what that's about.
You guys take the same scented shits.
I just want to know what industrial scent they all use, you know?
It's got to be like Osium with a hint of lime or something like that.
They all have the same standard. Like, okay, so at 5 o'clock... When you're done here and you're like, I want to try that one, and you go to bed, you just afterwards spray a little bit of this, and it gets that same great stoner smell inside the business.
It's another calling card. They want, you know, like the perverts want to be seen in Spencer's. Like, you know, the people that work there are like, kind of need you to know that my rebellion is that I get high. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I use products from the store, like this beer bong or this actual bong that is shaped like Larry the Cable Guy's penis. Coming out of a little, you have to put your lips on Larry the Cable Guy's dick, and it says, get her done when you light the bowl. And that's my life, so I don't care if you know I'm high.
That's the worst thing ever. I'm also picturing now like a big dichotomy between all of the different workers at the different stores.
Oh, like Claire's and Filene's,
like the
Hot
Body
Shop,
dude,
yeah.
and the Spencer's Gift guy. They're hanging out smoking pot, and the Pacific Sunwear people, they want to be cool, but they're not. And so, yeah, they just spend most of their time creepily hitting. Instead of on the Abercrombie people, they hit on the girl at Claire's. Everyone's like, is she old enough? Yeah. I don't know.
To quote that
Shane Gillis
guy
is not a day under 24, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
The 60-year-old lady that works at Sunglass Hut just wants to hang with the cool kids, but she can't hold her weed. She'll get really paranoid and call
out.
The cops. Yeah.
I'm dying. I should have worked at Lids.
I like cool backwards flat brims, yep, with the New York Yankees logo on them.
But you've got the Hollisters, and they're just like all the bro douchebag. Yeah. Queer. And they're just assholes.
They're just like characters from the OC years too late.
Yeah. I just see them saying douchey things, and every now and then they walk over and take a strange pose by the wall, and you're like, what the fuck is that? And then the wall just goes, and sprays a little bit of cologne under them. They just knew where it comes out. All right, I'm ready to go.
It just neutralizes their memories every time they take a hit of the perfume. They just never leave Abercrombie. They just shamble around like zombies.
It's like meth.
Yeah. Yep. I can't ever leave this place. I get really sick.
Once you get away from the driving base, it just starts to wither away.
Yeah, it's the only thing that keeps you company now.
I'm getting a beer belly. Oh, no.
Oh, my God, fluorescent lighting. I'm used to dwelling in the darkness near the shorts.
Okay, I would have gone into those stores way more if while you're looking for, like, clothing in there, every now and then you just catch eyes of one of them, like, hiding among us.
They just look at you like, help me.
Yeah, I would have been like, I like this place.
It's pretty neat. Can you feed them? We'd rather you didn't.
I'm going to get some of that cologne. might try to have one of my own at home.
What a neat braided belt. I got everything I was looking for.
Who knew it was so easy? Spray. I would have loved that store way more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. God. Those places were a nightmare. That and Hollister. Hollister felt like you were in a horror movie that takes place at, like, the Bahamas or something.
Yeah. Like, you're just like waiting for the guy to come out of the corner and stab you to death. But this time it happens to be a sales rep.
Yeah, just
like one of the people working
the
floor.
That was the day.
Hey, I see you. You're checking out that polo.
Good. He gets stabbed from behind. That's when the guy in the like kind of racist tiki mask is there.
Yeah, you're like, oh, thank God. I didn't want to have to hear that dude at all.
Chases you through women's sweaters. Tries to stab you, but your RFID blocking aluminum wallet, your Ridge wallet that you keep in the front, blocks the blade.
Those are always the stores, man, where I just like didn't want to have to shop, but I was like, if I don't buy this clothes, people are gonna call me a douchebag
big time. Yep, that was the vibe.
If I'm not, you're not cool if you don't buy these clothes. And it was also like a great thing because I looked at all the clothes, and when I saw like the pretty girl, I was like, oh, I can't date you.
You're precisely the kind of clientele I hope to attract.
Yes,
but
you are popular, I see. Ah, yes.
Well done. Good for you. Yeah. No, that was the thing is you would just, well, I mean, dude, I was fat as shit at that point, and I'm trying to wear Abercrombie stuff because I want to be accepted.
I mean, I was skinny and played lacrosse. I was just fucking weird. They don't like it when you play lacrosse and also do theater. It confuses them.
They don't
know
what to do. It wipes their hard drive.
They don't know what to do with you.
Well, at least you had them, like, asking themselves that question.
No,
I was
like,
never
that
in
weird
the game.
Guy's got too much energy. I was like, you want to see a magic trick?
I got you a bag of jewels, Betty.
A bag of jewels.
It's a bag of jewels.
Oh, thank God I wasn't that kid trying to do magic tricks for people.
Can you imagine? I'm from Teaneck, New Jersey, state bird of the mosquito. Douchebags are a hygienic product. I take that as a compliment. Thank you.
Great reference.
Great reference.
Yeah.
I had something I wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. You got a noted gun guy in your orbit.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you got a gun enthusiast.
I got a gun guy.
You got a gun guy.
It's my uncle. Okay. It's my dad's cousin. But, you know, like, what do you call that? Like, what do you call your parents' cousins? Like, are they an uncle or are they a something thing? You know, like, it just, fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of would be uncle.
Yeah, okay.
But even that kind of takes on a sinister tone. He's my uncle, but he's not really my uncle.
How dare... No.
Oh, we're just out. Has a barn.
We're just out in the woods with guns. But yeah, so yeah, I have a gun guy in my orbit.
You had a gun guy in your orbit.
Yeah.
You said he's got some cool guns.
Yeah.
Some really cool guns.
Some I've never seen. I've been going there since Forbidden I was guns. Young, and there's guns that he has that I have never seen. We have a weird relationship.
But he's not going to leave you any of these guns, right?
I don't think so.
Is that
no.
the poop?
I've tried buying some from him, but he's the kind of person. He was trying to sell some guns, but he wanted to sell them as a lot because he knew that everybody wanted this very particular gun. It was made by like a Vermont manufacturer, I believe, and it's a 45 pistol. It is very, very nice. It's like probably $2,000 or $3,000 on its own. And the lot of guns he had that he was selling it with was like $10,000 worth of guns.
Oh, he was hiding the prize at the center. So if you wanted to get to it, you had to get through a whole lot of other guns.
The other guns were actually pretty cool. Again, they were like a lot of World War II guns. You know, like he came across, like, say, the Mauser, like the German Mauser. It's like a bolt action rifle.
The rifle, yeah.
But he didn't just have that. He also had the commercial version of it. And then he also had the Argentinian version of it. Like, some people left and went somewhere else and happened to produce some more guns, which is a horrible part of history, but also fucking fascinating when you look at it and he goes, these are the three of them. And there they are. And he's got them. And they're part of this. 38 Special, like the original, you know, like these are the guns he has, you know, World War II trench guns, all of which are difficult to sell, like the regulation of which, I don't know how you do it, but...
Tell us about his dagger that he has with the Odin's cross on it. The Norse black sun.
Actually, a cool thing he does for people is he'll like throw some putty and he'll tell you to grab it and he'll make you a custom blade for your grip.
Interesting.
So
that's pretty cool.
He does that kind of stuff too. This guy is like brilliant. Like he's super socially no go. But he is fucking brilliant. He's the guy who local college, Norwich University, like he used to work with them because they have an armory where they have a bunch of really old, like the Green Mountain Men. We've got some of their muskets and stuff, but they had a problem, like say with a gun where they went, you know, we just got our hands on this, you know, this Civil War rifle. Or even earlier, I think it was like a revolutionary rifle. And they're like, we're not sure what's wrong with it. And so they go to my uncle. And he goes, well, it's the wrong wood. And the trigger guard is wrong. And they go, well, that kind of seems like a lot. And he goes, this is the wood right here. Pulls it out. Puts it down on the table. You put that wood on it, it's original. I can do that for you too. So he can make them the stock. And then he goes, walks over to a dresser, opens up a drawer and goes, and here's the trigger guard. I have one. And he fixes the gun for them. But he doesn't work for him anymore because they did something that pissed him off. And so he doesn't want to fuck with them anymore because they're assholes. Fuck them.
He sounds like, well, they are. First of all, yes, fuck Norwich. They are assholes. Mm-hmm. But your uncle sounds like the kind of guy that like needs to put you through some kind of loyalty/purity test if he's going to give you a firearm or help you. Like, I would imagine the reason that Norwich cut ties is because, like, they wouldn't watch him do his little kooky dance. He did, like, a Buffalo Bill. Like,
I don't think they
tuck
cut
his
ties
sack
with him.
Back,
he
shimmy.
Cut ties with them.
He says that.
So it was out in Texas, I believe. Like, way out in fucking nowhere. Like, nowhere near a city. There's this millionaire. Loves fucking guns. Loves them. Loves them so much he decides... He wants his collection to be a museum. So he gets my uncle to go out and curate the whole thing and like set it up. He bought a school, this millionaire. And I wish I remember the website because you could all go check it out. Like it's all a thing.
You mean he bought like an active school and kicked all the students out and turned it into a gun museum? Because that'd be pretty funny.
He bought an old school and turned it into a gun museum. Mm,
significantly less funny.
I have no idea if it was in use at the time. No clue.
Okay.
It's Texas. I just know he turned a school into a gun museum. And my uncle helped him do that. Like,
I'm sorry, real quick. There's something really fucked up about turning a ghoul into a gun museum.
That's why I brought it up specifically. I'm glad you finally chimed in on it.
It's like the mosque at Ground Zero. This will not stand.
Well, and they did this way long ago when school shootings were not even a thought in the eye of the child. Like,
a twinkle in the eye of Dylan Klebold.
It's crazy to think about. Think about how long we went without school shootings, and now, like, look how common they are. It was like one day someone's like, you can do that? Wait, I can just do this? Everyone realizes, yeah, you can pretty much do anything you want.
Yeah, if you have shitty parents, you can pretty much get away with anything. You're going to slip right through the cracks real nice.
And so they did.
Bad times.
But so, yeah, my uncle does a bunch of weird, crazy shit with guns.
See, I feel like that's weird, crazy is the key. Like, I feel like, and we talked about this before, but I love the idea of, like, you go to him and you're like, Unc, what do I got to do to get my hands on one or more of these guns? What do you got to do, man?
He would look at me and go,
he would look at you and go,
the second I ask for it is the second I don't get it.
He would look at you and peer his little eyes and he would go, well, I'll tell you how many guns, Rory. How many hard-boiled eggs can you eat?
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
You get a gun per hard-boiled egg.
Okay, but if I puke, do I lose? Like, what's the rule?
We've briefly discussed the rules. Yeah, puke and you're done.
And you're done. You're just done.
Puke and you're done. Whatever you got in your belly at that point counts towards your point total. Mm-hmm. So okay. You might get, like, a shotgun and a box of ammunition.
Yeah.
That may be it. You may get two eggs in and be like, oh, I ate too much earlier.
No, see, I make sure not to eat now before I go over there.
Yeah, exactly. Always show up on an empty stomach.
Always show up on an empty stomach from now on. I would go with, what is it? You have, like, 20 minutes. I guess. Like, if you're a speed eating, you know, if you're really trying to rush through it, like, that's what competitive eaters is. It's like there's a certain amount of time before your body really starts to trigger that you've eaten way too much and will start to get sick. And so I would just pound those fucking eggs down as fast as humanly possible.
That yolk, though, you lose valuable time on the gnarly yolk.
Oh, I just that's go tough. For it. Just throw it. Just tough.
You just swallow them whole.
Yeah.
You're going to give birth like a hen later.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care about the after. This is not the short game we're playing here.
Please stuck up.
We are playing the long game here. And as long as I survive, and it's not like, yeah, you shot your kidneys, then I come out net positive on the other end.
You ruptured your colon eating hard-boiled eggs.
I could just go, I could go cry in the woods near my house.
I think I have acute peritonitis.
I crapped him.
Oh, you failed him.
So, you know, that's definitely an outcome. But I mean, yeah, no, he has guns I've never seen. It's like, again, I'm in my 30s and I just this year saw his, like, bullet press.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. It's like, you know, the thing you use to make.
Yes.
Bullets.
No,
yeah. Well, I saw his, like, I finally saw, like, all of his ammo canisters and, like, you know, like the things, that you see in movies, like the little ammo cans. Yeah. He's got a bunch of those for every ammunition you could think of. Yeah, which is great, because like if the shit goes to the fan, I know where I'm going.
Yeah, it's time to befriend or usurp this gentleman.
Oh no, I would never in my life. It was one of those things where, again, like he's taught me a lot about guns. Obviously, like I'm fine with guns because I'm safe with them. I'm not fine with other people having them because they're not.
I can't believe he looked at you and went, "Yeah, I think I'll teach that kid about guns."
Yep. So that's fun. Well, and again, he's not super great terms with my family. And not because, like, any of us have a problem with him. He just, like, kind of, like, has, like, one of those chips for it, I think. And is just kind of weird about it. Like, something happened at some point before I was born or something. He's just a weird kind of a recluse dude. Like, lives out in the middle of the woods.
I'm not even trying to be an asshole. It's possible he has Asperger's.
Definitely possible. Yeah. Like, but it's the kind of thing where, like, when my other uncle died, my other dad's cousin, he passed away. Like, he kind of came in and just took everything he thought he was owed, didn't help clean up or anything, just kind of grabbed the stuff and took off.
Power move.
Oh, yeah. And don't get me wrong. Like, that was, I went and tried to help out a little bit. Got some cool books. Like, I got my Tolkien books from that, you know. I got a nice 50th edition of The Lord of the Rings.
Nice. Did you hollow it out to make a little space for your pipe?
Yeah. I'm gonna at one point just ruin the value. It's completely, someone out there's like, oh, my God.
You know, you can buy these at a head shop, right?
Yeah. You're like, nope. Oh. I took a real one, put a lot of glue into it,
yeah.
Just ruined a really, really, like, not super valuable, but, you know.
it's the equivalent of
worth more
Kurt
than a
Russell
normal book.
Smashing up that guitar, you're like, oh no,
yeah, oh shit,
what have I done?
But so like, yeah, he's a weird guy, is what I'm trying to say. Like, so when he passes away, which will happen one of these days. I mean, he trusts the doctors like I trust the doctors, and but he lives out in the woods. He takes it to a passion. Like, he has MS and like all these issues and just doesn't care. You know,
one yeah.
smokes cigarettes like a chimney. My God. But when he passes, he's going to do one of two things. He's either going to take the torch to everything, or he's going to give it all away to, like, the Red Cross, as if they want a bunch of guns and stuff, which they'll immediately just auction off for the money. You know what I mean? Yeah. But one of those two things will happen. He's either going to give it all away to charity, or he's going to literally buy a plasma torch to render all of the stuff he has worthless.
I mean, that's a power move.
Yeah, it just bums me out because I like the history of a lot of this stuff that he's shown me, and it would just be cool to own some of it, to be honest. You know, like, I don't need him to be like, listen, I'm giving you everything. But it'd be cool to, like, have something to remember him by in one sense, because he's the guy who taught me how to shoot, really.
Yeah, it'll serve as a warning.
I mean, my dad also taught me how to shoot a little bit, but he really kind of, you know, gave me some really good pointers. I got to go up and shoot more. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a bummer when that all happens. I mean, obviously, just because he's not going to be around anymore, as weird of a guy as
good
he is.
Good of you to throw that in there.
Well, come on. Fuck off. I'd like to take that as given. It's just it's weird to see how it's all going to go down, because it might be one of those things like, the will got lost.
I don't know. Funny.
I don't know how they're going to catalog it down to he wrote a lot of stuff on this, and it might have gotten lost or left in the trees. I'm just going to go up there and take something.
Yeah. You can't write your will on the back of a box of Lipton's instant soup
mix.
Oh,
no. He'll do it in whatever legally binding way. Dude, this guy is brilliant. Again, this is a story. Okay, so he had – what were you doing when you were like a teenager, you know, for fun? Like, what was something you did?
I think you know what I was doing for fun when I was a teenager.
Yeah. You know what he was doing? He went around and collected antique furniture. That's what he did when he was a kid. So it was like last year he decided that he was going to start selling stuff. This is the kind of text my dad would get. Oh, I found some more gold leaf, because he would do like etchings into guns and stuff. And like he used gold leaf on. But I'm talking about like pounds of it. So he has like these pound sheets of gold leaf that he would use for everything. So he just found some more gold to sell. And he remembered he has this storage unit in Barrie that's full of antique furniture. And among them is Norman Rockwell's antique clock, which he just happens to own.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is going to be sick when he burns that before he dies.
Oh, no. He just fucking sold it.
Oh, God.
So he was like, getting my dad to help him like potentially hoe this stuff out, put it into a trailer, and bring it up to a place in Maine, which he sees as being a reputable auction. And so this was going to be the plan for a while, until he just decided, he went, well, you know, just in case, let's just see if the auction house will just send someone down. And when they heard the shit that he had inside this storage unit, with the pedigree for all of it and everything, they just sent someone down immediately just to grab all this stuff. So he just, you know, sold all that just because he had it.
Wow.
A bunch of antique furniture and Norman Rockwell. One of Norman Rockwell's grandfather clocks. He's a weird dude.
That's dope. I mean, if he's weird, so are the American Pickers.
Well, he's got a bunch of great stories like that. You know, he was, again, he grew up wandering around in like riverbeds too, and like getting like arrowheads. And
yeah.
He's got a ton of like Native American, you know, not only knowledge, but like a bunch of their shit. As far as I know, I haven't seen a lot of
it. Don't worry. He does a land acknowledgement before he does it. Which, to me, the land acknowledgement is a small tangent, is just the weirdest thing ever. It's the equivalent of like doing that before a sporting event.
Fuck off.
It's the equivalent of being like, hey, bro, remember when I fucked your girlfriend?
Yeah.
But we're cool now, right?
Yeah, I love it. It's great. I think it's like, it depends on your intent, obviously.
Sure.
There's a difference between like, if you were to do it and it's like sponsored by Crest Toothpaste, we honor the land.
Brawny. How clean can you get your countertops?
Yeah, like if you were to hear the Cleveland Indians do that, you'd be like, fuck off. One tomahawk chop for the Native Americans of whom the land we have been using.
We do this to honor them. The Cuyahoga.
And you're like, oh my God. Have they retired the tomahawk chop yet?
Oh, they did more than that. They retired the name. They're the Cleveland Guardians now.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, Wahoo's gone.
Oh, well, look at that.
R.I.P.
when did they die? How long did it take them to do that?
Oh, I don't know.
A little too long.
You know.
How about the Redskins?
My grandfather was a young man when he was watching the Indians. Yeah, the Redskins are now the Commanders. No. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, the Washington Commanders.
Give it like 50 years and those jerseys are going to be worth a ton.
Oh, 100. They'll be like racist ephemera in the same way like Nazi daggers are.
Yep.
Because when you think about it, when people are like, well, it's like if you had a team called like the New York N-Words, it's like, it is exactly like that, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty wild.
Yep. For a long time.
For a long time.
Long, long time.
Washington football team? Okay. You bet.
Yep. Good job, guys.
You bet.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I just realized you finished that Jawbreaker.
Yeah.
How was it? Final verdict.
Once I got at that part where you can bite it in half, it's all downhill from there for the Jawbreaker.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like the Tootsie Roll, mm-hmm. the Tootsie Pop.
Yeah.
Once you decide you've got it in your clutches,
yeah, it's over.
Thing is fucked.
Yeah. So I pretty quickly gnashed it into powder. And then, I mean, if you go back and listen, you can hear it, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I was just so engrossed in all of our gun talk.
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever like the ones that are like the size of a pool ball?
Well, that was where my story started, remember? I feel like I was going to tell a long, rambling story about the candy store at one point, and I never got to it.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, how do you like your Jawbreakers? And somehow we got onto guns, you sick fuck.
I think we were talking about, like, the other shops at the mall.
So, one time when I was younger, I don't know how I saved up the money, because obviously I had no income as a child, but I decided to buy one of those big-ass Jawbreakers, like the ones you can hold in the palm of your hand. Mm-hmm. And I set to work on it, which obviously all you can do is just fucking lick the thing, right? Or you can crack it open and eat little pieces of it. But no. I will get to the center of this. I don't know what the center of a Jawbreaker looks like. Turns out it's a little gummy on the inside, basically. It's a little gummy core. At least this one had that, which makes sense. You had to put the candy around something, right? You can't just start with nothing. I mean, yes, you can.
You can make
off.
A giant ball of sugar if you put your mind to it.
Yeah, I just ate one. You just put a smaller Jawbreaker at the center. Fuck off, my logic. So, but there was a gummy at the center of this one. That's long story short. But I took like 3 days to get there, me licking this fucking thing. Pretty constantly with like a napkin in my hand eventually because I was like, I just got a ball of sugar. It's just getting kind of gross.
Just a little lava rock of drool.
Yeah. Can I be honest? Gross. It is a gross process.
Yeah.
To get through that Jawbreaker. It took a long fucking time to eat that thing. And that's why I bought one of them.
Did you ever try to get through? Do you ever try to take down one of those big swirly lollipops?
Ooh, I feel like I bought one of those once in my life. And I was like, you know what? I don't really care for the taste of this, to be honest.
No, not at all.
It's not really a good tasting thing. And then like halfway into it, it shatters. You know what I mean? At some point, you fuck about with that thing and it shatters and you go, I don't really fucking care anymore.
What's the point?
Yeah. I had one of them once because they did the big ones and then they did the ones that were like the little spirals.
Yes.
You know? And they always had them in display at the back of the candy store. There's just like a big, like a peacock feather of them. And you're like, oh my God, look at that. How much is that thing? $20. Well, guess who's never going to buy that? Poor young me. I was spending my money. I was getting two things when I was going there. I was branching out, sometimes getting crazy. But I was getting two things. I was getting chocolate-covered peanuts. I was getting chocolate-covered cookie dough. Mm. Fuck me, they did that in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I was hooked. Mm-hmm. So good. And then one day they'd like change the formula somehow. Like I was like, this is it. That's over. The dream is dead.
Yeah.
The feeling's gone.
Hard to beat Ben and Jerry's cookie dough.
Oh.
The way that's deployed in anything they make.
Yeah, and it was kind of like that.
Yeah,
like it was that kind of really great. And then they changed it to this other stuff, you know. There was... I don't know. It just wasn't the same. You know what I mean?
No.
You get your heart set on your favorite.
Your that favorite was, kind of poison.
Yeah.
Because all this go-to. Food is literal poison.
Well, they had so many other things. And I always went in there and saw like the marzipan candies.
Mm-hmm.
And I always looked at those. I remember like asking my mom, being like, those look so good. She's like, you don't want that. She's like,
you don't want no part of
she's
that.
She's like, it looks like a strawberry. It's not going to taste like a strawberry. I was like, oh, okay. And I just moved on. Like, you know what I mean? She's like, you don't know what that is. It looks that way to be appealing, but it's going to confuse you and you're going to be sad you spent your money on that.
As your parent, I cannot legally advise you to eat this.
Yeah. Well, and they had that, like, every now and then you splurged on the oversized Reese cups that made that were like the
peanut butter wheels the size of a truck tire.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. It's like those super big cups that were like $5 each. But back in the 90s, you guys got to realize that was a lot of money. Those of you who are young, let's be honest, nobody young listens to this. Maybe you do.
Some teenager who really hates his parents out there.
But, you know, when you like a five, I mean, you really had to know you wanted that shit.
Yeah.
They had these candies that I remember specifically that were like Lego bricks. They were just like candy Lego bricks.
Oh, yeah.
I got them like once and I was like, these don't snap together well. I was so disappointed because like you tried to snap them together and the little tips broke off in the butts of the other one.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh man. And then you'd eat them and they'd kind of cut you a little bit because they were jagged Lego pieces. And they were just regular sugar, but they were so much more expensive.
Oh, yeah. And that's the gimmick is they sucker you in being like, you could build your food because everyone's thought about eating a Lego at some point. They look delicious.
You get the dream, little kid imagination. You build the apple out of them. You know, you build a fruit out of them and you go, look at me. And then you eat that.
I'm not going to eat actual fruit, but this fucking sugar apple.
I'm going to cut the hell out of my gums on this thing. So I did that. That was another one. You got that one time.
Yep. Yeah, what else? I got the fake rocks, the chocolate rocks. They sound awesome.
No, I didn't ever get those, but I know, yeah.
They just look like pebbles off the beach. Yeah. A big thing in York.
Yeah.
York, Maine.
Yep.
Goldenrod.
We went to Ogunquit.
Oh.
Which we liked.
Did you ever go to OOB?
Perkins Cove,
great candy place.
Yep, that's where we used to go.
Perkins Cove.
You would save your money for the summer. If you went to Maine with the family at the end of, like in August at some point, you'd save your money and you would go there because they had everything. Like there was one place and I can't remember. I think it had Fitzgerald in the name because we took a picture with it. I was like, oh, look at that. It's fun. We're not related. They're not going to give us any discounts, but isn't that fun? They had like, you know, you could go in and buy a 5 cent candy. You know what I mean? And you could go in and buy a 15 cent candy and it all got bagged in like one of those fun bags at the end. And so we would just say, you know, you $5 there at eight when you're eight or nine was like the world. You're like, holy shit, we got weeks of fucking candy in here. Let's go, you guys. You punch the guy in the face and run. Ah, youth.
You like that? Wait till you find out about Halloween where they just give it to you for free.
They're just fucking giving it away, man.
Yeah, I see, and that's the thing is my family just had to buy it for me because, I was a fat kid, so they would look at me and be like, we cannot afford for him to go rogue, so might as well get the kid some peanut butter cups.
Yep. Oh, man.
Keep him docile.
Every now and then you get Warheads just because you want to punish yourself.
Yeah.
Warheads were brutal.
I hate sour.
Sour. Oh, you get the sour candy Warheads, man. Those fucked you up. I can, right now, thinking about it, I can feel that little gland.
Oh,
right here.
It's so painful because you overstimulate it.
Well, you'd get the different flavor. I feel like the black cherry and the lemon. Ugh. Obviously lemon, you know.
Black cherry was a destroyer.
Black cherry, sneaky painful. Awful. Stuck to the roof of your mouth and just like, oh, God, guess what? That's gonna hurt for a couple hours now.
Spicy napalm.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing is out of sweet, salty, spicy, sour, I'm spicy.
Oh, and see, ooh, that's tough.
You're sour or sweet, aren't you?
I don't know. I kind of like salty, chocolate-covered peanuts.
Yeah, true. Bacon.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of like that, you know, it's that nice mix of both, you know. I like, so the nice thing about the chocolate covered peanut is you get a little bit of the sweet and the salty, you know what I mean?
Do you like a chocolate-covered potato chip?
Interesting.
Have you not had one?
I feel like I have, and yeah, no, not really. That one really doesn't do it for me.
Interesting.
I don't think, anyway.
Because the thing is, the potato chips, like if you do like Lay's or Ruffle Ridges or whatever.
Chocolate-covered pretzel.
Yeah, oh, big time.
That's good.
Psychopaths don't like chocolate-covered pretzels.
See, again, it's that you get the chocolatey and you get the salty.
Nice crunch.
So I'm probably sweet salty, and every now and then I'll grab the sour. Like, I like Sour Patch Kids a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had a problem with that because when I was gainfully employed, and I was like, you know, I can definitely splurge every now and then on, like, something. But going bulk really is better for the bang for your buck. And the Rite Aid.
Not your colon.
Yeah, the Rite Aid nearby. Sold those like $7 bags. Like, this is a pound of Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, that's rough.
I mean, it wasn't a pound. It was probably like a half or a quarter pound of Sour Patch Kids. It's a fuck ton of gummies. And I'd be like, I'm into this right now. I'm going to do this. I was, you know, I was running. I was in fairly good shape. I was like, I can eat this. And one night I just was like, I had too many of these.
You had to go paint the walls.
And then you have, oh yeah. And at that point, you learn moderation. You learn real good. And your reminder sits there for another several months because you bought a half pound of Sour Patch Kids.
It's just daring you.
Yep.
I fucking, oh my God. My girlfriend is super into the Sour Patch Peaches.
Oh.
And she got a bag that were like 30% less sour. And she's like, you don't like sour, but you'll like actually like this. They're really good. And I put one in my mouth and it like caved my skull in. It was still so sour.
It caved my skull.
I was just like instantly panicking.
Yep.
But I can eat, bite into a fucking hot pepper and
see,
be in heaven.
I can crush sour. As long as it's not real lemon. You know, as long as it's not real. But and to be honest, the sour shit will still fuck my stomach up. Yeah, everything fucks my stomach up. But I can take the sour. I enjoy it, you know. I don't mind that at all. So unless it's like kombucha. Why do people drink kombucha?
Oh, my God.
It's so tart. It's stupid.
Yeah, I just don't like, oh, it's a fermented, it's a mushroom beverage.
Yeah, I don't want
it. When did you ever eat a mushroom and go, and you like mushrooms, and so do I. So you know I'm telling the truth. When, when did you ever eat a mushroom and go, you know what would send this over the top?
If I could drink it.
If it was a fermented beverage.
If only I could drink this. Yeah.
Fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
Oh, it has great health benefits. Shove it up your ass.
I want to die. What are you talking about? I want to die. When everyone's like, well, you know, man, you really got to. I just go, I'm. Look, I'll be scared for like that month or so leading up. Unless I get hit by like a sudden something, you know. But like, come on. What are we? What are you look? Honestly, tell me what you're looking forward to. Tell me what you're. Oh, well, we're excited for the birth of our child. No, you're not. Don't lie to
me. You have to say that.
Everyone's, yeah, come on. That is a legal requirement. You are going to hate every second when you are up at four. I know I'm lying. It's a beautiful, magical joy.
Of course.
But I got to be bitter. It's yeah, what are you looking forward to, though? You know, I think we should all really, like, everybody follow me. We'll all go to the store. We'll all pick up a smoking habit.
Rory and all your kids.
Yep.
You'd be a great, like, Fagin, you know what I mean, from Oliver?
Uh-huh.
Where you just have the little orphans orbiting you. It's just all of our friends' kids just follow you.
I'm going to be the worst example for all of your kids. I'll be the cautionary tale. So you kind of want me to be around a little bit just so they know what not to do.
Right.
You know? Like, so you go, you see him. He's smart. He's nice. He's friendly. Do not be like him.
Hey, kids, who here knows what a heroin nod looks like?
Hey, kid. Hey, kids, who here wants to know? Where did I drop my vape? Kids, come help me find my vape. It's kind of dewy out here, so if something shocks you, it's probably it. I had to rewire it myself.
Don't worry about it. Hey, tell you what, which one of you is the oldest? Okay, I'm going to give you this. Every now and then, Uncle Rory's heart's just going to stop.
I need you to stab me with this.
When you see him hit the ground, you drive it into his chest as hard as you can.
Yeah.
It's like cutting into an ice cream cake. Can you do that? Do you like ice cream cakes? Oh, you're lactose intolerant? Then this job isn't for you!
Just shouting.
And you headbutt the kid and run away.
Five-year-old.
Yeah.
Five-year-old.
Just, she's just, it's like a glancing blow. She's like, wow, he must be really anemic and have really soft bones. He hit me as hard as he could and it bounced off me.
I'd always try to be as friendly as possible around children. And they are always pretty much terrified of me.
I think because they know you're scared of them.
I'm 6'4". I'm a giant that is unkempt. And I'm just, and I wobble towards them, you know.
But it's your energy, dude. Little kids love me because for the very same reasons you described, I'm a big unkempt monster. And they're like, I feel safe with that.
Yeah. See, they feel like I'm the one coming for them.
Well, there you go. Well, see, we can do a little kaiju fight for them.
Yeah.
I'll use my atomic breath.
We shall fight for your soul. It's just you smoking weed. They don't understand. Don't be offended by that. Kids don't have any context for that. You say weed to a three-year-old, they're going to pull a dandelion out of the ground, okay?
Yeah.
Calm down,
Or America. They'll be like, oh, weed, the thing I can't do. Also, I have a speech impediment. It's adorable for
Listen,
now.
This is how we lure out all of the little people that might be hiding at the picnic because they want free food. I see Domino's. If I was like 3 to 4 feet, I would try to sneak into picnics, like kids gatherings all the time to take food.
You look like a big Cabbage Patch kid.
I love cake.
Yeah.
And nothing about that would change.
Can I be completely honest with you? You talk about that. Stolen Valor.
Oh, God.
Dude, on Veterans Day, when Bay and I went to get coffee at the Starbucks, the Price Chopper, no big deal. We're romantic like that.
Starbucks. Wait, the Price Chopper has a Starbucks?
Sure does. That's so we were there getting
fancy
coffee, and then I looked, and I'm like, there's a table here with just loose, unattended donuts and free coffee. Because it's Veterans Day. And I thought about it really hard, and I'm like, those donuts look good, and they're big. And if anyone asked me, yeah, what war did you fight in, guy with pajama pants on, I would say, the war on drugs.
Korea.
And we lost.
Yeah. Korea.
Which would be double bad because her grandpa was in Korea.
That's right. I am eating one for my grandfather who is not with us anymore. He fought in Korea.
Thank me for my service, why don't
You're
you?
You're welcome. We did a lot of sustained bombing, which really set the pace for Vietnam, so... Something to think about.
I'll be taking this cruller to go.
Such a, like, holy fuck.
You can't say anything to that, you know?
Well, yeah. I think they would. You'd be probably fairly speechless.
Stolen donut valor, man. It's, you know.
I bet you. But you know what the thing is? The reality is that definitely fucking happened that day. Someone stole one of those veteran donuts.
They didn't even think about it. They didn't stop and go, oh, those are the veterans' donuts. I think I'm going to see if I can take
awesome.
One. They literally just saw donuts and undeterred were like, well, they're out. They just went up and took probably two.
Yeah. Well, you never know. That's what I would have done. See, I would have pled ignorance. If somebody was like, hey, you can't be having those donuts. Oh, my God. I thought they were just for these are for veterans. I'd be like, oh, yeah, no, I guess, yeah, that makes sense. I'm sorry. I'll go pay for this. And then I just go do that. Suck my shame up. Damn, I was so close.
That would actually be a sick time to have a glass eye because when she starts hassling, you just pop it out.
It was like when I was in high school and they had the slushy machine. Oh, yeah. And the slushy machine cost way more than any other beverage.
Yep.
But you wanted them slushies. And they're like $4.50, right? Or like $3. So you take the coffee cup. And you'd look like you were getting hot chocolate or something, and you'd fill it with a slushie, and you'd put the top on it. And you walk over, and you set it down, and they charge you 75 cents instead of $3. And one day, the lunch lady looks at me unblinking and takes two of her fingers and just touches it to the side of the cup and goes, that'll be $4.50. And I go, damn, Gloria, you got me, or whatever her fucking name was. I was just like, yep, I'll pay for it. Yep, you got me good.
This delicate dance we've been doing, Gladys, for years
yeah.
now.
Sorry,
since sophomore year.
To be fair, I'd been getting away with stealing food from that cafeteria for years.
Well, that presents an interesting
Everyone
question.
Everyone calls you a douchebag when you're wearing the cargo shorts with those cargo pockets, but they always look poofy. I was just stealing fucking gummies. Oh, man.
You were smuggling tots before Napoleon Dynamite made it cool.
I was stealing so much food from them. It was just go down, sit down. It's raining nuggets! And then you'd realize eventually they just love me for my free food.
I'm the most popular boy here. I have nugget money.
Oh, my hubris. The pride was before the fall.
When the ketchup went dry.
I shall have to go back and sit with my other friends now.
Aloysius and John.
John.
One of them's a dog and one of them's part of a mural.
You'll always be here for me. Credits start to roll. Lean on me.
John's the dog.
When you're not strong. That'd be the greatest short ever. I guess I'll always have you guys. He just runs his hand across the mural's cheek.
I'll be your friend. He just starts making out with a woman painted on the side of the wall.
Everybody else just keeps eating their lunch.
Just let it happen.
Yep.
Because they know. They know what's coming next. Not college. Not trade school.
Nope.
Total abandonment.
Working in the mines.
Yep. That begs an interesting question, though.
Those who can't work.
When is it okay to steal?
When is it okay to steal?
Is it ever? And when is it okay to steal, if so?
I don't know. Like, how bored are you?
It's okay.
You know,
excellent position.
In my youth, I may or may not have done a little bit of thievery, as I just admitted.
Well, what's the statute of limitations?
On stealing nuggets from a cafeteria?
Yeah.
Around 7 years.
There you go.
I think on most crimes, it's around 6-7 years. Except for what you would call, like, your you know, your big ones, you know, murder, rape. I bet you theft over a certain amount, maybe. I don't know.
Can they get you for theft over 1,000?
Maybe.
Can
I don't
you
know.
Get 3 to 5 for that?
I just know in a lot of like say I You know, I go fuck up the statue in downtown, right? And they're looking for the guy. After 7 years, I can go out and be like, it was me! And I, you know, there might be different ordinance, you know, depending, but I think it's several years.
You yeah. fuck up because your crime occurred on leap day. So it's like, technically. Click, just put handcuffs on you.
Really? That's bullshit, man. Shouldn't have done it on the 31st.
Shouldn't have done it. I won't out this person. Sure, I will. I'll just say her first name. I was with Liz when she stole about 20, 25 thongs from Old Navy.
Wow.
Like the $2 thongs, and she just filled her purse with them.
Yep. Wow.
And walked right out of there.
And, you know, I never really did any of that kind of thievery, you know? I'm trying to think about really just from the school, just the institution, stealing nugs and that kind of crap.
Well, see, I'm with you. Stealing from institutions, I think, is...
It's really the way to go.
Perfectly appropriate.
Yeah.
It really is yours, in theory. Mm-hmm. You know?
I'm a taxpayer, and the taxpayer pays for it, so therefore it's mine. Give me my shit.
100%.
I'm just taking this desk and bringing it home because I have a use for it. Okay, I'm a student. You want me to do my homework right? Well, I need a fucking desk at home.
Why are you being like this? I'm going to tell everyone you have a Gadsden flag sticker on your car. You'll be canceled.
Can you imagine just going around in like a neighborhood, just like putting really fucked up bumper stickers on people's cars? White is might. Just like all kinds of really fucked up.
Honk if you're a horny infant.
Yeah. I would love to do a line of bumper stickers that are all about putting them on other people's cars. We would probably get sued. I don't know how that works. Fuck this tailpipe. I really want to do.
Ding.
Put it right above the tailpipe of a car.
Do you remember that thing that somebody put in the tailpipe of my Honda for a while? That like whistling.
Oh, did they?
That demon from hell. It was this weird metal piece they
the
put
whistle
it,
tip.
Yeah, they put it in my exhaust. It was just every time.
Yeah, I'd be like, wow.
The faster I went, the worse it got. And I'm like, oh my God, I fucked up my car.
The whistles go woo.
Little tears roll down my chubby cheeks.
And then you found it in there and you went, motherfucker.
Son of a bitch. It was probably you, wasn't it?
No, I didn't do that.
Okay. Do you know who did?
I might know who did, but I've since forgotten. Like,
I'm fairly certain who I think it was.
It was one of those things that I probably may have been privy to.
Yeah.
But I've since... it might have been me. I feel like I would remember doing that.
Were you privy to when I had a real... affinity for leaving my car unlocked at school and a bunch of people got in there and stuck post-it notes all over the inside?
I was not a part of that.
Okay.
I was more of a fan of doing mean things to another person's car that we know. Definitely don't listen to the pod. I'll just say his name. It was the twins. It was John and Jacob.
Yes.
And me and an old friend who I have since lost touch with.
The mural.
Yep. Would in the middle of the night push my car out of the driveway in neutral. So we wouldn't have to turn it on. And so we could start it going, because I live on a hill, and we would start it down at the bottom of the street and then drive all the way over to these people's house. And we covered the entire outside of their car, not the paint, but every window, their license plate and all their lights in duct tape. Several layers of duct tape. So when they got the first layer off, there was another layer underneath it. They didn't realize that they had not unduct taped their lights and they made it all the way to school. I think they also missed the duct tape on their license plate. They got pulled over. They'd have been fucked.
Oh.
They hit me with a ball of duct tape that was about the size of my chest that they made from all the duct tape we put on their car. It was fun. It was a fun back and forth we had.
That's really special. That's a special feeling, Lloyd.
Yeah. Well, they thought they got us. I can't remember what they did. They took our like chorus music and like put it on the wall in chorus, like above, like big high ceiling in the chorus room. And I was like, oh no, what'll I do? And then I got more chorus music.
Yeah. Those dumb assholes probably put it at like slightly higher than eye level.
Yeah.
We got them good.
They used like, they use their tiptoes.
Yeah. Not getting into Mints anytime soon, those two.
No.
Well, one of them might be okay.
No, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
One of them, his name begins with J.
As far as I know, both of our friends there got pretty back into God and family and
Happens to the best of us.
And that's what they do now. It's God and family.
God and
Which,
family.
Hey, it works for them, and they're doing better than me, so how can I knock them? We used to get them pretty good.
Stand for the flag.
So someone
kneel
posted,
for the cross.
Someone post-noted your car?
Yeah, it was some of the other theater kids. I think it was Andy Damaris. I'll just say his whole name. Whatever. Fuck off, Andy.
Look him up on Facebook.
Yeah.
Say hi to him.
I think he's a border guard or something now. Last I knew, he was like
really?
A border guard or some shit with Canada. Don't get excited.
No, I know, but like border guards, man, that depressed. Border guards have such a crazy range of like jurisdiction.
Now, to be fair, he it's may be an wild. Immigration lawyer. I may have confused the two things. But he's somewhere in there.
There's a pretty big difference.
I don't know about that. He was managing a Burger King for a while. One of the worst things I've ever seen.
Oh no.
Was when they announced the closing of the Burger King in town on Facebook. Someone snapped a picture of the entire staff getting
laid
off.
As they were
off.
Being informed that they were no longer going to work there after that shift.
Devastated faces. And they're like, hey, gang, just letting you know that the Burger King drive-thru is going to be closed and replaced with a Simons.
And so someone thought it was a good idea to put that photo up.
Unbelievable.
I believe that photo also hit the news. Somebody took that and like put it in the paper.
How could you not?
They're like, oh, my God, they just did our work for us. Yeah, that's tough. But again, that's like me being like, oh, our buddy, he got into drugs really, really bad. Although he could have been working at a rehab.
I think he's a pharmacist.
Yeah, maybe he's a pharmacist. I don't know. It's one of those.
I met a pharmacist who was just gobbling acid at a wedding.
What?
This guy was whacked out of his fucking skull.
Was he making it himself?
Potentially. I didn't get that far with him.
Because, you got the ability.
He was blasted out of his gourd on acid, just to the moon. And someone was like, yeah, you think that's crazy? Guy's a pharmacist. He makes like 80K a year. He's just lying in the grass to launch.
What does a person who does acid look like, you know?
Correct. And respect, dude. If you have a career going like that, and you're making that kind of money, and you have that kind of freedom to just be yourself and
does
do acid,
whatever he wants, yeah.
Why wouldn't you? I'd feel too guilty doing acid all the time.
I always just wonder what it'd be like to have like a career path that is not only possible to do, but you enjoyed it. Like just one of the two would be nice. Like that's super.
Yeah, the only job I'd be like happy to have would be like, they say dress for the job you want, which is why I always go wearing like a sofa cover because I would like to be Shakira's couch.
Like, why are you dressed like that? I'm dressed as a step bro.
Why did you come to this interview dressed as the Sultan of Brunei? That's not a job you can get.
Oh, man.
That actually is a great question. Best and worst job you ever had?
Oh, man. I mean, that's really tough. I got to think about that. Because, again, one of my job titles was beer cart girl.
They didn't even change it for you, huh?
Nope. If whatever the title they want to really give it, it doesn't really matter. I was the beverage cart worker, you know?
Yeah, the beverage bitch,
and
yeah.
When I was out there, they definitely had every name for you. So it doesn't really matter what my title was. It was pretty tough working at the country club because the people I worked with fucked me on tips. And the people I was waiting on fucked me on tips. And I was supposed to be bartending weddings and events. And anytime that moment came up, the manager gave it to his wife or one of their family members instead and went, you're not quite there yet. But we'll get you there. And I remember, I think I did two events at the end of August and like September when like they had nobody else to fucking do it.
Yeah.
And it was like shitty events where it was all the old heads who were like, yep, we'll give you like, well, they were the kind of people who like they ordered a round and I got the change kind of people. You know what I mean? Four quarters for me. Oh, golly gee. And the only one other event I got to do was they did a night golfing thing once. And it was only because the guy who managed everything wanted to play in it. Him and his wife wanted to participate. So they stuck the whole thing on me and left me there alone. And that fucking sucked.
Yeah.
And I did fine. You know what I mean? I did well that night. But one night, an entire summer, don't make a great job. So that might have been the worst job. But it's a tied close second with the summer that I washed windows.
Oh, yeah, with, like, convicted felons and shit, right?
Yeah.
Directly sounds kind of
It was
fun.
Just the three of us. It was this guy, Ed, there's a guy, George, and me. And the point of me being there was really so that hopefully in certain situations I could drive back. Like, that's really why he hired me. An extra hand, and I could legally drive because the other guy couldn't because he was a felon. And I guess he'd also lost it. I think that might have something to do with
repeat
it.
Repeat offender Dewey guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Welcome to Vermont.
Because I don't think just being a felon gets your license taken away unless it has something to do with, like, what you did.
Yeah, vehicular manslaughter.
I didn't ask him what he did. I just know that legally they told me he couldn't drive. And my boss, Ed, wanted to be able to crack a couple beers after a long fucking day of doing what we did. And, oh, man, I got to tell you, you don't think washing windows is pretty exhausting shit, but it is fucking exhausting shit. And that was, like, where working at the country club was not physically exhausting, but more emotionally degrading. This job was physically fucking exhausting and in no way stimulating whatsoever. It was just, you wake up, you go, I went to his house, I'd get dropped off there. I would get into a van with him and we would go downtown Barrie, Vermont, and wash several of the windows in downtown on a cycle. So one day would be certain windows and other days would be others. So we would wash those big windows downtown for various businesses. And then the rest of the day would be met up with whatever clientele we had to hit. Some weekends or some weeks would be a school. We would go and we would wash an entire school, like the school in Montpelier, their elementary school. Me and a team of three, me and two other guys, washed every fucking window in that entire school over the course of like 2 days. Maybe it was a day. I don't remember anymore. I tried to block most of it out. And the shitty thing about it is, like, you pull windows apart and have to, like, do a lot of, like, lifting and getting shit ready to wash it and then doing repetitive motions. Now, by the end of, like, the first month, the skin on my hands was peeling off. Like, my hands were red, you know what I mean? Because up to my wrist was just dipping chemicals all
day. Just a chemical toilet.
Yeah. So I started wearing gloves and, you know, like, I got called, I got some names about that because I'm wearing gloves and they're not.
Yeah.
Know? Ed died of some pretty bad cancer though. So I feel kind of okay in what I did because when he died of cancer and the cancer he died of was not great. And it was definitely because he spent his entire life around those fucking chemicals.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that job was pretty brutal. Your favorite place you worked, which you're probably going to say is Norwich. I can see the look on your face potentially.
Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely. Because when your two main exports are disrespect and despair, you really got the two D's locked down.
Did you ever spend time in Jackman?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I washed every window in Jackman.
Nice.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
And a couple other ones. And so we did a dorm and we did one of the office buildings, and the office building was the shittiest one because everybody kept working while we did it. And some of those desks are right up against the fucking window. They go, yeah, go ahead. Clickety, 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 click.
Just press your little balls.
And
up
I would have to
them.
Climb over them and pull a window apart and drag it across their desk. We're talking like 50, 60 pound windows out there.
See, and this is your classic stupid Norwich employee, because if that was happening, that's I can't do my work. You can't stay at your station. Mm-hmm. If the window guy's here, I would look at you and go, take your time and there might be a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee in it for you. I'm going to the commissary to do work. You'll take your laptop, Doris, but you're not actually going to do work. You're going to sit at Dunk's and you're going to house two donuts and tell everybody that you had a salad.
Well, and the funny thing is, it was going to take us like 2 minutes. You know what I mean? It wasn't going to take long. But you go down the row, and when people are telling you to just reach over them, by the time you've done 15 of these windows and they're 60 pounds, 50, 60 pounds, and you try to lift them across somebody, you're like, what the fuck? It really starts to fuck you up. And the worst part was when you would hook up the spigots to wash some of these windows outside, you would open up this like little water hatch, you know, the little hose hatch on the side of the buildings. And all of Norwich's hose hatches, those little spots, they were full of earwigs. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of earwigs would pour out of these things. And
yes, they like moist environments.
And I'd have this guy go, you just got to reach in there and plug this thing. And I go, you fucking do it. He goes, I don't want to do it. I go, I'm not fucking doing it. Oh, this is ridiculous. And the other guy goes and fucking does it. It's like, yeah, I'm not fucking doing it. You guys don't pay me enough to do this shit. So tie for those two. I'm trying to think if I ever had a, like.
I was going to say, have you ever had a good one? Do you have positive things to say?
The last
about any job
until they fucked me over at the end, really, like, I didn't mind that job. I didn't mind what I did there.
Would you qualify it as the best one? Just like there has to be a funniest everything, was there statistically has to be a best job that you had.
Best job I ever had was a contract job I did for the Barry Opera House when I did a load-in for La Traviata.
Ah, yes.
Which was hell in a certain way, but also short and paid incredibly well. I did that one job and I didn't do anything else for the rest of the summer. And I got to work in theater. And I got to meet one of my friends who went to St. Mike's that next year. So it was fun. So that was probably my best.
That's good.
That was a great one.
All right. That's positive. That's very positive.
Albeit really short.
That's okay. Sometimes you just need an answer to a question.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be good.
So I want to know what your worst is now. I just waxed poetic.
Well, my worst is Norwich. And I could go on and on and on about how terrible it was.
Yeah, you got to give me the worst parts of it, though. You got to show your work.
Oh, it's just the consistent disrespect.
I'm going to sit here and eat this
Laffy Taffy. Yeah, please do. It's the consistent disrespect and nepotism and total lack of vision and a lot of blame being placed on the underlings while people fail upwards. Uh-huh. You got a guy who gets a job from his dad, gets fired, gets another one, leaves it to follow a girl to Michigan, dumps her, comes back. Dad gets him a cush job as a fucking assistant in some big department like alumni giving or some shit.
For example,
it's just a classic Norwich mess around. It's just, it sucks. Everything about it fucking sucks. Like, and down to the little shit. Like, I was working in a converted old armory. And
yep.
I had lost so much weight and not bought new clothes, so everything was hanging off me like David Byrne and Stop Making Sense. And I had long hair that I always put up in a bun. And everybody roasted me for it every day until I eventually broke down and cut my hair because I was sick of hearing about it. Mm-hmm. And it was just like...
Sounds like a problem for HR.
Oh, and they wouldn't care. HR would be like, whatever, you fucking pussy. That'd be a 50-year-old woman telling me that. But like, yeah.
Not
so
it up.
Norwich was the worst, but anyone that's worked there and no longer does can tell you. And people who still do can tell you it's a fucking cesspit. But the best job I've ever had, I can gush about that. The best job I ever had was the summer that I spent
detailing
buses.
I knew it.
Fucking incredible. You want to make an independent film about something, you make it about the summer I spent detailing buses.
That's your adventure land, isn't it?
It was so good, dude. It was the best summer ever.
You were doing that. I was screaming at cockroaches.
It was a beautiful summer. A summer of love in many ways. I fell in love with the concept of being paid to work and not working. Because that's essentially what that job was we showed up and there was one day where it was me and a couple other guys from Spalding who all have fine careers now, so I won't out any of them, even though I don't think any of this is whatever. Who gives a shit? But
the algorithm will find them.
So we were tasked with like rearranging the rooms, cleaning them, shampoo the carpets, wipe everything down, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And we crushed a room one day. We just, the three of us, soon to be joined by a fourth, went up and we just absolutely smushed rearranging the room and getting it all ready. Mm-hmm. And our supervisor walks in and he's just like, his face falls. He goes, "Boys, what the fuck are you doing?" And we were like, "Our job." And he goes, "Why are you in such a rush? Why don't you take it a little fucking slower?" And we realized that he was like, once you make this go away, you're about to do your whole job in like 2 weeks. Once you make this go away, you stop getting paid. So let me give you a piece of advice. Move rooms one item at a time and then go take a 20-minute shit.
Mm-hmm. I learned that the hard way once when I was doing data entry.
Yeah.
As a temp when I was working at a temp agency, which you would think would be up there in terms of my worst places to work. And I seem to have forgotten about a couple places in Boston that get an honorable mention.
Sure.
But I did data entry for a company called Bain & Company.
Ah.
Bain & Company just is an acquisitions thing. Like, they're just a Goliath. And what they were doing, what they do is, like, they'll take a company that wants to be bought, maybe doesn't, but they'll offer, and then they just fucking liquidate everything and try to get a profit.
Mm.
Like, they underball. They think this company's assets are enough where if they offer this, they can get a profit out of it. And then they have people like me come in and go through a website and scrub all of the data of all of their inventory and put it through an Excel so that they can quantify that data. And that's what I did. And I went in one day, and being a 70 word per whatever typist, I just went and just took my whole set of data, and with like a half hour left in the day was done. And when the person came in and said, okay, who needs to come back tomorrow? I went, fuck, because I didn't need to come back tomorrow. And I was standing on the elevator laughing with one of the other temps and clearly a Bain & Company employee going, it's fucking crazy that I'm not going to be coming back here tomorrow because I just did my job too well. That's weird. And the other guy was like, yeah, man, if I'd known that like they were bringing people back tomorrow, I would have gone and done that about half as fast as I did, because I didn't realize that they're going to get paid more for being worse of a worker than us. And we both were like, yep, that's the way it goes, man. Oh, well, back to the staffing agency, and off we fucking went. It's crazy.
See you out there, and you just skateboard home.
You learned.
Well, we had a great and wise teacher. This was a man.
I wish.
Who had seen a lot. He's worn a lot of different hats in his life. He's been a lot of different things.
What a man.
Bus driver, head custodian, long-haul trucker, and at one point, he worked for Vermont Castings. Local.
The Vermont Castings?
The Vermont Castings.
Holy fucking shit.
You think of fucking Darn Tough. You think of Vermont Flannel Company, sure.
Fuck
what beats the dick off of all of them? Vermont Castings.
Oh my God.
Building beautiful stoves.
Until then, they're the top of that tier. Until you get to the next tier, which is like your Cabot and your Ben and Jerry's, you know. But before that, and maybe Burton, you know.
Yeah.
But before that, casting, man.
You don't get past Vermont Castings.
You don't.
Without paying a little penalty,
yeah,
which is your childlike wonderment. You must render it unto Vermont Castings and the work that these craftsmen did and still do.
You will fucking bow at their altar.
When he worked there in the 70s, there was a day where every employee got sent home because somebody put acid in the coffee. And everybody at Vermont Castings was tripping balls. The supervisor saw them and was like, yeah, we can't have you building stoves.
And we were just like, what? I need to build myself. And then he sent them all home, so they all do drive home on acid.
Do you want to know the best part of that?
They did.
Was the supervisor tells us that whole story. His name's Dana. He might be dead. I don't know. Lived hard. But he tells us, he's like, and you want to know the funniest part? I was the one that put the acid in the coffee. And I was like, now this is a mentor. This is a man to be looked up to.
At that point, you sit there and go, well, when's your next prank, buddy? But then you get the next prank, and it turns out it's not LSD this time. It's methamphetamine.
And now he's created a customer for life. Because baby's got to have more of his rock candy.
Yep.
Speaking of that, there was another wise sage that I worked with. It was this big fat guy who got into some kind of construction accident and fucked up his leg. So he was getting Oxycontin on demand for life. And he was badly addicted to it. He was blowing rails of it off of his steed, which was the carpet cleaning machine.
That's not good.
He rode that thing everywhere. It was like,
yeah, because he was super fucked up.
He was like Jerry the King Lawler entering on the white horse. Every time he came in on the rug shampoo.
That's the most depressing reference.
And he was always just so fucked up.
Because I got a feeling it was so much worse than the way you describe it.
I make it sound majestic, but he's crashing into walls.
I just hear Elvis in the background and this dude just kind of half slumped. Boom. Oh, man.
It's what he was. He had a little, you know, oxy nod going on.
He was on, like, the little floor buffer.
One time we literally did catch him doing a couple circles.
A little buff rider. Because
he just slumped over.
Is that thing a shampoo or is it just a buffer? Does it do it all?
No, it was a shampoo, like, deep poo.
Yep, that's what it
but
did.
But he would just, like, you know, ride it. He'd, like, pick the bristles up.
I remember
ride
what
it.
They looked like, because you'd see those dudes. It might have been the same guy I used to see as a kid playing basketball there that you saw later on.
He was a great man, and he was a great American. His one flaw was he would never let me ride. I was like,
are you sure it wasn't the oxy?
Are you saying the oxy is what made him great? You're robbing him of his natural ability. No, I fucking asked him once. I was like, you got to let me ride that thing. And he was like, absolutely not. And I'm like, whoa, are you afraid I'm going to like hurt it or something? He's like, no, this I'm not getting my fat ass off this thing.
I'll die. Yeah, that was it.
I'm on this until 5.
Like, what happens at 5. You have to get off it, though. Like,
he has to roll off it. He was amazing, though. He could take. He could like taper off.
Did you ever? Oh, he did taper off.
Because what he did is he would rail Oxy in the morning, and he would just start his morning. He'd get through the worst part of the day just coasting until it became about 1 o'clock, and then he would go in his car and smoke his lunch, as he would say. So then he'd be stoned, so he'd be carrying the residual after effects of the Oxy into a nice stone, and he would later then take another shit, use of air quotes, and go get high in his car again, smoke a second lunch.
Okay.
And that would take him through to the end of the day. So by the time he had to drive, he was just stoned on marijuana. He was not on Oxy. Okay.
Better than him crushing Oxy through the entire day, but also not great because he's sitting there snorting it, which means he needs a fast delivery system, which means that he's pretty addicted.
Yes. And then he would buy a six pack on his way home, drink that and crush more Oxy and tell us about it the next day.
Oh, so he went home and he finished his night with another trip to the rail yard just and then nice. Fell asleep. In the comatose.
Yeah, nighttime in the switching yard. He just falls asleep in his recliner.
One day he's just going to fall asleep and not get up.
Yeah, it may have already happened. He was morbidly obese and drank nothing but sugar.
You know, we talk about it in a depressing way, though, but sometimes I think about death and I go, that's probably the best way to go, as long as it's not like he gets really frustrated playing Tekken 5 online and starts yelling at a 13-year-old kid and his heart explodes.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, it's probably the best way to go because he's just going to sleep, fall asleep one day and just not get up.
It's like the gambler.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found something I could keep. You know what I mean? The best you can hope for is to die in your sleep, like the gambler.
Yeah.
And that's what he was, truly. He was gambling with his health, but never with his friendship.
Well,
that was
that
always
too.
Free.
That guy probably lived exactly the way he wanted to.
It's a beautiful thing. He was a beautiful American.
Well, and it's the kind of thing where I look at it and I go, and no bullshit. I go, if I could do that, I would, because it sounds like I'd be happy, and I'm not. So why, like, trust me, I'm not going to find happiness in heroin. I know I'm not going to find it, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to find it in pills. I'm not going to find those things, mostly because my stomach can't take it, folks. Don't think that this has anything to do with anything else. I'm a pragmatist.
It's not a moral stance.
Yeah, this isn't a moral stance. I'm a pragmatist. My body can't handle it. But those people who can live those like very specific kind of simple lives where they just kind of fall in
lockstep. They're the most free.
They're the most free. Those little, like, just you find your nice spot where you're like a cog in this very tiny piece of the world. It pays you enough. You don't have to worry about it. You go home. Maybe you got some family. Maybe you don't. Maybe it doesn't even fucking matter. You know, you have as much or as little to prove as you want. And that is incredibly nice sounding.
And
you know?
No one is going to take that from you.
Yeah.
Even after the empire's gone, you'll still be the freest person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're here for a good time, not a long time.
Sure.
But I will forever be grateful to have spent that summer with some great Americans.
Well, it always reminds me of that song from South Park, too. And who wants to be 90 anyway?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, well, I make a good set, I make a good song. You know, like I remember I had a great grandfather who lived to be 92 or 94. And for him, you know, he lived every moment of it. But I look at him through his 80s and go, I don't want that. No. I don't want that for myself.
I barely want to make it another year.
I'm going to if I get through my 40s, I'll be pretty surprised.
I'll be pretty upset.
Yeah. I'll be pretty surprised if I get through my 40s.
I want to die like a hoofing cowboy with his boots on, riding atop my
I have too much stress. Bumper. I have like too much needless stress in my life where I get angry over pointless things I can't do fucking thing about. It'll be like, oh, God damn it, the Donald Trump's clone, and my heart will just pop
you
in my...
just dislodge a piece of mozzarella.
Yeah, I'll be that guy whose heart explodes while he's still awake. That's going to be my lot. Like, I already kind of know. Like, I will die of heart failure of some kind, probably, because I just can't let shit go. I'm always irritated and I have shallow breath. So I'm going to die of some kind of sad malady. You know, he died of anger. Ranting at a cloud.
But will you die next week live on the show?
I mean, maybe if I do put it up.
There's only one way for the people to find out, Rory. They come back next week.
They do. That's true.
More.
This was technically our Thanksgiving episode as well, so everyone can sit and enjoy that.
Is yeah.
Isn't that special?
Give thanks.
Gobble,
while
gobble.
Listen to this while you're on the drive to your in-laws.
Well,
sure it will help.
If it tells you anything, it's that I don't give a fuck about Thanksgiving. I don't give a fuck about Thanksgiving.
I simultaneously don't give a fuck and love it very much.
Sure. If I had your family, I would probably enjoy it.
It's great.
I love my family. I don't love my family at Thanksgiving.
So I avoid Thanksgiving unless I'm forced to, which is every other Thanksgiving usually.
You got to give them one for you, one for them.
Yeah, like I do Christmases. I'll do every Christmas. You need me to do stuff on Christmas? I'm all for whatever you want to do. It's your guy's holiday. It's the family holiday.
Sure.
It's for everybody.
You make your mom happy.
Thanksgiving, I can argue it's stupid. I'm like, what is this for? Like, who is this for?
Yeah, really? It's literally
it's
just
for family. It's for
food
togetherness.
Waste and gluttony.
I literally went to that argument of Christmas. Nope, we have Christmas for that. You can't tell me that this is a family thing. You get your birthday and you get Christmas. You don't get turkey family and then you do what you want. I don't.
See, and I would rather have Thanksgiving over Christmas because Thanksgiving is a drunken free-for-all and Christmas is a sad drunken free-for-all.
Yeah, Christmas is getting pretty bleak.
I am one of those, like, start thinking about how tinsel can, if you bind it together, hold a man's neck.
Well, especially
if he jumps
off the
chair.
I'm like, yep, it's another year. Here I am.
Well.
Listen, my New Year's aren't so bad. I spent, like, 3 or 4 New Year's in a row in Johnson, Vermont, and vowed never to do that again. And so far, I haven't done it. Thanks, Jeff. It might have been more than 4 in a row. It was so many New Year's in Johnson, Vermont. I don't know why. It's because I have no free will or agency, I think is what it is. I'm the time is a flat circle and we're all caught. That's me.
And it's all Jeff's fault.
It's all Jeff's
fault.
Here on 30 Days of Jeff. We got it in, buddy. You're welcome.
Right at the end, you stinkosaurus.
You're fucking crazy.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
No.
Yeah, if you have nothing else, I guess we'll just dump out. Okay. So until next time, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Go fuck yourselves. Don't have a good Thanksgiving. And goodbye.